Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. Hello, everyone out there in entrepreneurial land. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and I'm here with Peter Myerson from the law firm of Cohn, Rasnick, Myerson, and Plout.
It's great to be here, Jeff, and I love your new offices.
Well, it's not mine. These are the offices of MTP Software, and they built us a studio. Thank you, Frank Sincotta. You did a great job. And we're pretty excited to be here. It's a nice contained unit. We're all contained in here, much better than we were in the last place. Got Chris pinned
contained
into the corner. And, you know, our next guest, really interesting guy. I've met him before. You haven't. Brian McDonald from the National Braille Press.
Thanks for having me again. It's good to be here.
What's going on at National Braille?
Well, this is the beginning of our 90th birthday. On St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, we turn 90, and we're doing a number of celebrations this year to celebrate our world of Braille literacy. And we have one I want to plug for right now for the public, which is at Hampshire House, April 27th. It's 90 years and 9 plates. It's a dining in the dark experience where you can taste and smell a lot of different types of food, appetizers and food that we'll give you, and guess what they may be even before you taste them with your palate.
So it's going to be in the dark?
Dining in the dark experience.
So try to replicate at least to a small extent
of what is the experience of being blind and eating on a daily basis. And we'll have blindfolds for guests because it's obviously not total darkness for waiters and waitresses, but it's a
so,
fun. I've
so
done
we'll
it before.
Have flashlights.
Yeah, it's really
Peter's
fun.
Been in the dark for years.
But it's a great experience, and if you go to our website, you can see where to go to get tickets.
Wow.
That's really interesting.
It does sound like a lot of fun. Will there be music?
You know, we're talking about that, actually, to have some music, too.
I think that for ambiance, that heightens the, as you know, when you don't see, that'll heighten the sense of what's going on.
Yeah, no, it
we should
really
do a tasting,
fun.
Too.
Yeah, no, I know.
Vodka tasting with blindfolds on.
We've done it with wine. I've done different things like that. Yeah, so it's a lot of fun.
Really?
Peter's entertained.
Yeah,
Peter's entertained. You
can
see.
I can tell he's like, he's thinking about it. Yeah.
Can
you imagine doing a vodka tasting with a blindfold on?
Usually I blindfold the bottles. So.
Yeah, not you, but the bottles.
It's easier.
You know, okay, since this is Peter's first time meeting you, tell us about National Braille.
Sure. Well, we, as I said, 90 years we've been doing this. We are, our focus is Braille literacy. We're a nonprofit based in Boston. We were founded in Boston. We're right on right around Northeastern University on St. Stephen Street.
How did you get founded?
Francis Urati was a blind Italian immigrant, and he was literally shining shoes on the streets of Boston. And one of his customers was a trustee of the Perkins School for the Blind, and he sponsored him to get educated at Perkins. And he realized when he graduated that blind people were not getting information in a current way or accurate way. So the actual desire he had was to form a newspaper for the blind. So it took him 10 years to raise the money to do that, but we did. That's how we started.
So you started as a newspaper.
Right.
For the blind.
Yeah, and originally just
printing,
for Boston.
Printing in Braille or?
Yes, a Braille newspaper, taking the information from the Boston newspapers and converting it to Braille. And it was originally just for Boston, but it very quickly went not just in the U.S., but internationally where people spoke English, and that's how we got started. We're not in that business anymore. We're in education and tests and textbooks and books for adults and all kinds of everything you see in Braille, you know, for business to business as well. But we started out that way.
That's interesting.
So I can see you're entertained. That's good.
No, I mean,
he's got an amazing organization when you think about what he's doing and how you brought normal life or mainstream life to the blind, correct?
Yeah.
I don't know how to say it without being in trouble.
No. If you look at our original articles of incorporation from the state of Massachusetts, it said to create finger reading, which is what they called Braille back then, to keep blind people happy and informed with their community. You know, it was really about giving them information so they could compete with the rest of the world, you know, with sighted people. And that's what we still do. You know, if you think of a standardized test or a textbook, how does a blind student do that if they don't have all the same things that a sighted kid would have? You know, feeling a bar chart or a line curve or a geometry problem, how do you keep all that in your brain if you can't read Braille to reread the problem and understand the diagram? So we do all of those things. It's really critical.
So how, I have about four questions. So how did you come to this?
That's the first.
How did I get here?
How did you get here? Yeah.
A headhunter.
Really?
I was in...
What were you doing before?
Right before that, I was working at Audubon in New Hampshire. I spent 20 years at the...
National Audubon, wasn't it?
New Hampshire Audubon.
Oh, it's different.
New England founded Audubon.
Okay.
National was always like... Everyone trying to be in the game. So if you look at Massachusetts Audubon, New Hampshire Audubon, Connecticut, Rhode Island, we all were like founded over 100 years ago by the original John Jay Audubon group. So we have a little pride about that. So anyway, I was there and a headhunter called me about this opportunity about Braille, National Braille Press. And I was, I'll give you a quick story. My grandmother was blind. So there was a connection to me personally. She was an avid Braille reader. She was very religious. And when I was a young boy, she lived with us part of the time. And she'd sit me on her lap to teach me Braille when I was, you know, like 5 years old, 6 years old. So I was interested, but my grandmother had long passed away. But it was just like, oh, tell me more. Otherwise, I never would have been there. So that's a little bit of karma.
That is, well.
Second question, Mr. Morrison.
Oh, I don't know.
you said you had four.
Well, I probably have more than that, but who knows. So how big is the National Braille Press? I mean, what does it do?
Well, we have just under 50 full-time employees, and okay. We have some part-time employees across the country and contractors. But we do millions of pages of Braille. We do books for the Library of Congress. We do business-to-business work, as I said. We do menus nationally for, like, Legal Seafoods and Wendy's and Starbucks and... we do corporate stuff. We do HR manuals in Braille. We do documents, you know, that companies need for Braille. We do the Rose Bowl Parade, you know, program. You know, so we do a lot of that kind of work, but also primarily educational work. Standardized tests, SATs, ACTs, those kind of college entrance
exams.
So you
convert what, you know, some authority in some state has for an SAT or a...
The Common Core tests or MCAS we have in Massachusetts, it used to be.
So you do them in Braille.
We convert them to Braille, but we also, there's a skill to know what to do for a diagram. If you think about, like Jeffrey is wearing a whalebone type top, what's important for his suit is that it doesn't matter what all the design is as much as he has a suit. We don't want to overstimulate detail on a graphic you're filling with your fingers. You want to know the concepts. What's important to that student or person to see in a diagram? So we minimize what's not important and accentuate what is really critical for it.
So there's really some judgment that goes into
it. It's a skill
process.
It takes time, years and years of experts.
Are you putting down my jacket?
No, I like it.
You telling me you wish your eyes were closed?
No, but that detail is not as essential to the issue is what I'm getting at. Yeah.
Mr. Morrison, third question? You forgot them, didn't you?
You get to a certain age, you know, they go. So how does the organization grow from here? I mean, what do you want the organization to be? I mean, it sounds like it's already very valuable.
We're really well-respected and well-known for the education market, especially. What we're looking at now is, we are growing. We're adding more people because the educational market is changing rapidly because of digital tests and textbooks as well. If you think about when we were young, textbooks had images, but today textbooks have many more images in a book than the old days. And we define some as eye candy, where they just fill space in a book, but they're not really a real critical issue to that learning concept. And we try to, again, determine what is important to include in a tactile graphic, which is what is eye candy and not needed necessarily. So there's a lot of interpretation still about making that, but we are also looking at now how to do digital output in a tactile graphic that would change in real time that you could feel with pins that could be raised up and down or some other medium so that you could feel those, take that test in live, you know, just like a sighted person would.
So you're talking about movable?
Movable graphics that move up and down for every test item, for every image you see in a book.
It's actively working with you.
Exactly. So that's what we're working on now. We're working with
Disney Research.
We're working with MIT. We're working with a lot of universities and private research companies.
Like,
You ever see the toy where you put your hand under a bed of nails?
I know exactly what you're saying.
That's a crude, simple example of how you could do that for graphics in real time as well.
Right.
But you must need really specialized people.
But it would be like a computer pad. You'd put it on the pad.
It's a tablet.
And you leave your hand on it, and it would just, as the words, it would just keep going up and down. You'd never have to move it along the page like you're doing now.
Right.
It's one stationary pad. How wonderful.
It's
and you
can
carry that with you. If you want you to perfect it, you could almost carry that with you all the time. Plug it in, attach it to your computer, your iPad.
Absolutely.
Have I figured it out?
Yeah, well, even not attached to your computer, that it could be its own computer. It's
right.
Like a tablet, portable tablet for the
mind. And if you set up a Bluetooth on it, you wouldn't have to plug it in. So you just go to your tablet, you go to your TV set, you just go in, you Bluetooth connect it, and you just put your hand on it.
Fascinating.
Isn't that amazing?
So do they make tablets that actually have tactile reactions?
Well, see, our goal, we're a nonprofit. We want to provide them the most affordable way of doing it. One was created in Germany about 5 years ago, funded by the EU, and it works, and it's these raised pins like we described, but it costs 45,000 euro. So, you have to have this balance of practicality.
$18.95 at the Walmart.
Yeah. So we are working to try and find a really affordable but accurate way of rendering a tactile graphic that can be schools can buy, individuals even, as you said, could have their own portable tablet.
You know the way you used to carry around the TI calculators on your hip? These guys will carry them around with them all the time. He's smiling. This is great.
Yeah.
You know, Brian, it's I apologize. We've somehow used up all our time.
We always do that.
Peter's got four questions. He only gets three questions out. Now he's in a state of shock. If someone wants to find you at National Braille, and I assume you're always looking for the generosity of individuals and corporations.
We don't get funding from the federal and state government. We do. We rely on corporations, individuals, and we work to try and create revenue to keep us going. Yeah.
So tell us how to find you.
In today's world, that's probably good.
I know. NBP.org, National Braille Press, November Boy Paul, NBP.org. And everything is on that homepage, including some of the research we were talking about.
Great.
Fascinating.
Peter, I'm going to put your book on it.
Yeah, well.
April 27th, 9 plates, 90 years. Have a little tasting experience.
April 27th. I'll have to think.